This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, don't look now, but Jordan Spieth is leading the Players' Championship right now.
Through one hole?
No, he's 3-under through four.
Oh, wow.
He's on fire. You need somebody that can help you, give you entertainment for golf? Jordan Spieth. Then he'll shoot 8-over tomorrow, miss the cut. Before we get to Josh Briscoe, you have some breaking news.
I do. I do have some breaking news about Bobby Witt Jr. talking to somebody within the organization. They expect him back in 5 to 6 days. So that is a sigh of relief from the Royals. That is a sigh of relief for all of us. Bobby Witt Jr., according to my source within the Royals organization, the source. Royals expect Bobby Witt Jr. back in 5 to 6 days. So we can all take a deep breath. Woo. Sigh of relief. I will say this. Go about your golf today. Don't worry about a thing.
Okay.
Bobby Witt will be back in less than a week. That's
so we're not
news.
A curse.
No.
Okay. Perfect. Because we thought we were going to have to get some sage. And address the place. Cause
I always have sage at home.
Yeah. So does Travis Scott, but I think it's a different flavor.
Different flavor of sage.
Fair
yeah.
enough. Speaking of sage, let's go to our guy, Josh Briscoe. How are you doing, sir? It's been a while.
I dead serious was going to come on here and like sob through tears. Like, please, any Bobby Witt news, anybody, anything, it seems good, but I need some confirmation. And here I am for it. So I am electric right now. I feel great. My wrist is great. Nothing's broken mm-hmm. in any of my bones. Nothing's broken for Bobby Witt Jr. Life is excellent right now.
So you got good news. It's great. I like legitimately like you're feeling good because of that news. I love it.
As soon as we're done with this, I'm going to text my brother and it's going to make his day.
There you go. So would you give your wrist up to Bobby Witt Jr. if you didn't, you know, you just don't have a wrist anymore? You just give him your left arm?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've offered to give ACLs, MCLs, Achilles, all sorts of things to various athletes over the years. Because I, in the grand scheme of things, I'm doing very, very little with all of those ligaments. The arm and hand would be tough because I would like to be able to type continuously. But as long as I got the voice box, you know, I can sit here and yap into a microphone. I'm definitely not using my arm for anything better than Bobby Witt Jr. is using his for. So if needed, I've got some spare parts. I have to imagine that Bobby's in much better shape, though. So that would be a downgrade, I think, for the franchise.
Briscoe, let's speak into grades. How do you grade the Chiefs so far with their offseason accusations?
So far, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did you guys enjoy the league year changing? And go, oh, well, all right, the news is finally coming. I don't know if I don't know if this is like even a fair letter grade or whatever, but I think this has been like a B something. Is it a B plus or a B minus? I think we'll find that out in you know the next couple of years as the results come in. But I think by and large, with one exception, by and large, I think the Chiefs made a lot of understandable, reasonable moves, but not a lot of things that are going to make you terribly excited or something that makes you believe like, oh, well, there's going to be a big leap in either side of the football next year. But that's not what they're going for. Like, they're signing Jalen Moore because they need competence and with a little bit of upside at left tackle. So if he's Donovan Smith, it's a lot better than what you got last year. If he overachieves that and kind of hits what they think his potential might be, you've got a cheap deal for a high caliber, above average left tackle for the next couple of years. I wouldn't have done the Nick Bolton deal, but ultimately I think it was responsibly structured. It's really a 2-year deal. Well and good. I understand while we're there. I'll say that Christian Fulton is the signing so far and the signing of the offseason that I'm the most excited about because I think that allows the Chiefs to do some creative things. Everything else, I understand how we got there. Not a lot that I'm thrilled about. Not a lot that I'm beside myself about.
Yeah, and I think, look, they got guys, right? And yep. And it's all about, I think, what your expectation were. And that's kind of how I just view sports now in general. What's my expectation going in? Did it meet my expectation? Did it, you know, not meet my expectation? I think what they've done in free agency has just met my expectation because we knew they weren't getting a big name offensive tackle. So they got a guy that could potentially be your guy this year. If he does well, maybe he stays on and ends up signing a long-term deal. They filled a need with a player who has some playing experience. It's not, you know, forever and a day, but they kind of got what I thought they were going to get at that position in free agency.
Yeah, and there were better case scenarios and worse case scenarios for pretty much all of these spots. Specifically, yeah. Tackle, I think, is the easiest one to see now with the benefit of a little bit of hindsight because that news broke and it was like, oh, Jalen Moore's getting real money. Like, okay, what's the number going to settle in at here? And then it's 2 years, $30 million, 20-ish guaranteed. And then you see the Dan Moore contract come in, and I went, oh, well, it might have been better for the Chiefs to have Ronnie Stanley hit free agency. Maybe they should have been more aggressive about acquiring Laremy Tunsil. Those could have been better options. But signing Dan Moore to the deal that he just got would have been a much worse move than what the Chiefs did by getting Jalen Moore. And again, like, something to keep in mind, and I think Chiefs fans are pretty up to speed on this because of how Veach operates, but so much of these last couple of years have been big extensions for your young cornerstone pieces, and then 1 year veteran just like fill the spot. Jalen Moore should not have even considered signing a 1-year deal. This 2-year deal, though, again, gives the Chiefs a ton of flexibility. If he underachieves, you can get out of it. If he overachieves, you're happy about that, and you may be renegotiating his contract next offseason if you go, oh, well, this was the guy. Similar for Bolton, no risk on the Elijah Mitchell edition, all of that. So, yeah, I think the expectations getting back into place, I expected them to have one of the veteran receivers back. Hollywood Brown is that guy. That all matters. So, yeah, I am cool with a bunch of them. I'm pretty excited about Fulton.
So the Chiefs are going to draft Luther Burden this year? That's what the talk is? You're going to slip all the way to 31?
Listen, I wouldn't be against it fundamentally because I think that continuing to take those hacks on offense is a worthwhile effort, especially at the wide receiver position. The Chiefs have been getting better there in the post sort of Sky Moore draftees. But I think ultimately I'm still, you know, there's a lot of time before the draft actually gets here and as things fluctuate and what are the big boards going to look like, all of that, you know, it'll change every day. And in some ways, it won't change at all until draft day, depending on, you know, what you're listening to. But I think what the Chiefs have set themselves up for here now is a very defense-heavy draft. I think they have found answers. They're not drafting a left tackle, at least not to start day one. So I don't think they're drafting a tackle day one or even day two of the draft. You don't really need to do much on the offensive side except for add another horse in the backfield at running back. You find a young guy with some explosion. I would rather that be no earlier than the Chiefs' own third-round pick. I'd rather them not have to burn the Titans pick there. That's probably what they'll do. But you can add a running back to the group here, and then pretty much every spot on defense, you're going to need somebody either this year or next year to step up. The defensive line is super, super thin. Linebacker with Bolton back is something, but Drew Tranquil's, this is going to be the last year of his deal. Leo Chanel hasn't, you know, seen his full role develop yet. The secondary, you've seen Justin Reed exit, but they have a lot of young safeties they keep drafting behind in those spots. All that to say, I think they could draft every single position group on defense, and it would not surprise me one bit. I think they have patched up the biggest holes on offense. They're not talking themselves to any rookie being a day one starter on offense, which obviously ended up being one of the things that challenged so much of last season.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, too. You don't want to have day one starters needing to go get a day one starter in the first, second, or third round of this draft because it really does handcuff you. Then you're not able to do it, what you've been doing over all these years, and that's just draft the best player available. Going in with no needs is the best way to go into this draft.
Right. I think going in, like, best defensive player available, maybe. You know, I mean, I think, obviously, if there's, again, if Luther Burden's there at the end of the first, I'm happy to have that conversation. I think that'd be an absolute blast. Maybe a little redundant with Rashee Rice, but we know what the Chiefs like in terms of wide receiver body types, and it seems like there are two of them. There are your, fast, skinny guys, and then there's Rashee Rice. But we'll, you know, we'll see if that rings true. Defensively, the one thing I will say now is that there needs to be a professional defensive lineman added to this group before the draft, because that's the spot right now where they should draft two or three defensive linemen and, you know, add your choice of a UDFA. But right now, like Mike Pennell or Derek Nnadi or one of those guys, or sit down, everybody, maybe someone who hasn't been here before, go ahead and bring in and find yourself a 27-year-old who didn't quite achieve to his rookie contract. Find that guy. Or again, you know, you keep working through undrafted free agency and try to build your next Tershawn Wharton, just not in the starting lineup as a rookie. So they need a little bit more depth across the D-line and then a lot more juice in the draft there.
Briscoe, I want your opinion on this because I love you. We had a heated debate earlier. Not heated. You know, good conversation. Is the NBA, is the NFL draft a top three sporting event in the United States?
Oh boy. I am incredibly NFL pilled at this point.
All right. Thanks for the conversation. We'll talk to you next time.
But I lean towards saying no.
Okay.
Top 10 for sure. Top five, maybe. Top three, probably not.
What are your top three on the cusp?
Super Bowl, I mean, we've gotten to enjoy a lot of those, so I'm going to say Super Bowl's 1-1. Can I get all of March Madness?
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me all of March Madness. I'm not a huge golf guy. Obviously, heard you guys talking about that at the beginning. You could definitely have a good golf answer, but I don't personally have one. I'm going to go, God, I mean, every red zone Sunday, there's 17 for you, 18 for you.
Wow, that's interesting.
Okay. Red zone every weekend is one of my favorite sporting events of the year. That's honest to goodness true.
I hate that answer.
Championship weekend in the NFL, Super Bowl Sunday, March Madness are the first three that come to mind. I love all of those things with all my heart, and I love the Red Zone channel as like it's a member of my family.
With new host Tony Reale.
Did he get the job?
I don't know. I just
don't remember. I hope he does, man. I'm rooting for that guy.
The whole around the horn thing makes me sad, and like if Hansen ends up moving on, that would be kind of wild. If Tony Reale steps in next, it would be different. The vibes would be different, but he's like perfectly cut out for that show. I'd be happy with that succession plan.
Isn't Hansen going to like the Olympics or something? Or there was some story that Hansen was going to do something else.
Yeah, I think NBC Sports and maybe some Olympic stuff was kind of sniffing around. I don't know if that was official or not yet. I have no idea.
His name's just been bopping around. So
understandably, he's got some of the best energy in television for an outrageous. I mean, you guys know this. You guys know what it's like to do 4 hours of radio. What about an entire noon to 6:30 Sunday
without peeing?
Absolute alien. Yeah, I know.
All right,
unbelievable.
All right, Briscoe, we appreciate the time. Stay safe, stay kind, and enjoy the top 10 event coming up here in April.
I want you guys to know that I have never peed during one of our segments.
Great.
Love that. If you did, I wouldn't shame you.
So far.
There we go. Don't forget, Big 12 coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Coming up, whiskey washes up on the shore. Seriously, whiskey washing up on the shore. We want to know what the story is. Bob's got it. We'll talk about it on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5.
Ah, Matthew Broderick. I didn't know he sang this.
He did.
Yeah.
What a great movie.
Yeah, it's good. It's great. It's good. Because it's every, I mean, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Do it. What? He hasn't seen it?
Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't say of course. Because
okay,
like there's
yeah. And it's like me saying of course with movies, because you know
of course I watched that KU game last night.
No, didn't even know they played. After watching K-State score 24 in the first half, I was out. I'm out.
No, we've talked about this before because I remember you're not a Broderick guy.
No.
Not a Broderick
You're just
guy.
Jealous because he's with what's her name?
Carrie.
Yeah. Honest, that's what it is, right?
No. I just don't like his voice. I know there's people that don't like me because of my voice. That's just the way life works. But, like, I don't know, man. He was, like, in Godzilla. Like, that's who you chose to be in God? Well, he played a scientist. Like, but still, that guy's going to outrun a lizard god? Like, come on. He was in glory as a general. Like, I would have shot myself before I'd have fought for that guy.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick to me is more Broadway than he is like movies like that. He's great on Broadway.
Fantastic. But like, I don't know. I will say, like, I mean, I like Rick Moranis more than I like Matthew Broderick. Like Little Shop of
Horrors.
Didn't
he eat kids or something?
No, he shrunk them.
Oh. And then put them in a paper sack?
Mm-hmm. Not the same paper
sack. You seen Broderick on Broadway then?
I have not seen Broderick. I mean, on TV type stuff.
Of course.
But never
in
person.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Aren't Broadway tickets like really expensive?
Heck yeah.
You can get them, you go to matinees on Wednesday, you can get them a little bit cheaper. Yeah. But they have a place in Times Square. You wait in line and you get, you know, basically what they have. It's,
nice.
It's called like tickets. It's put on by the Broadway community and whatnot. And like, they're 50% discount. Sometimes you get good seats, sometimes you don't. We got Phantom tickets there a couple years ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great, you know. And so,
did you guys ever see Hamilton?
I did.
I did not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
My sister did.
Is it worth the hype?
Yeah, it's okay. Really good. Yeah, it is. Six is really good right now. I don't even know if that's still on Broadway, but that was really good.
What is considered the greatest Broadway of all time?
Well, Les
Phantom
Miserables,
of the Opera,
Phantom, Cats. Cats has got to
be up
Wicked
there.
Has got to be up
is
there.
Is Rent
now.
Up there?
Rent has to be up there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Is West Side Story?
Yeah, that's up there.
See, I know a little bit.
Yeah, is there bangers?
Yeah.
I got drama sisters. I mean, so like, I'm here.
I got to be honest with you. This is totally off the rails, but Mac and I are can kind of talk about this because we like it. But
yeah.
I think we're due for like a West Side Story revival, aren't
that
we?
Would be
I mean,
awesome.
Like, when was the last time we saw that on Broadway? And we know we don't do anything new in the entertainment world.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's a revival of something.
What about Fiddler on the Roof?
Good one.
Fiddler's a great one. Yeah. Love Fiddler.
Yeah, my sister was in that in high school. They did. She was in drama.
That was a great high school drama show. Like, I think everybody's high school did Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
Because it probably aged out, you know, it became public domain, I think, you know,
about the
time I was in high school. So everybody was doing it. You didn't have to pay the big rights fees, you know, to do these shows and whatnot.
Classic Dusty line here. The only Broadway I'm really interested in seeing is the Book of Mormon.
That's supposed to be very good.
I've heard it's awesome, and you know, the Trey Parker, Matt Stone, right? They wrote it.
Oh yeah,
like I've heard it's just great.
Yeah.
And I've
seen it on tour like three times.
That's the one that would like, you know, like for you, Masters, right? Like
that'll get me entertained.
I would go see. I want to go see the Book of
Mormon. Another great Broadway show, and it's probably my favorite of all time. It's Avenue Q. I always quote the word Schadenfreude. There's a song in there about that. It's just a very. Well, I think now it would be canceled if you go back and watch Avenue Q. It's very, it pushes the line. Let's say, but it's all done with puppets, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that is a great one. I remember when that came out.
I've seen that three different times. I saw that New York, St. Louis, and Las Vegas. I mean, it is a great show. I love that show, and it is so much fun. Everybody would love it. It's like your 90-minute comedy if you're not like a Broadway, you know, hardo or whatever. Like you can just get in there and enjoy the hell out of that one, man. But I've been blessed where I grew up. I mean, we were able to.
Yeah, you were right there.
We saw a lot of that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah, Dear Evan Hansen's a newer one that I really like that's out right
now.
That's
supposed to be really good,
yeah,
too.
It's really good. Yeah. But one of my best friends.
Springsteen on Broadway?
That would be sick.
Is that still on Broadway?
I don't know. Aussie is the one that told me to bring that one up. So
it's a good one.
Yeah.
One of my best friends who we have to meet, he was on the Broadway tour for 3+ years of the Book of Mormon. So he did over 1,000 shows of that show.
Hell yeah.
Wow. He knows a lot about it. Yeah.
Well, when they come to Kansas City, let me know and try to give me a little inside ticket there. What's the best seat at a Broadway?
Probably about halfway.
Is that a loaded question?
Center house.
Yeah, it's probably halfway up in the center. Yeah, I think, you know.
Okay.
Kind of like
Broadway theaters are not big. I mean, they're just not, you know.
Wherever Lincoln sat, I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose my mind. Okay, I'm done. You read a story about whiskey washing up on the shore from Prohibition.
This is really cool, right? My dad sent me this story this morning from the New York Post. So some cat's walking around the beach in Jersey, and all of a sudden these whiskey bottles start rolling up on shore. And he's like, what in the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes over to see this whiskey bottle or this thing that's, you know, kind of washing up on shore. And all of a sudden he sees a line of these things, and it's a line of these whiskey bottles that starts washing up on shore. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, what do I care about that for? So the whiskey bottle that washed up on shore is something called Lincoln Inn whiskey.
Mm.
And so the guy looks at the bottle and says, okay, 11 of these show up, right? 11 of these bottles show up on shore. They've got pictures of them in this article. It's crazy.
And at this point, you're probably like open arm, like holding these, running back to your car.
I don't know. That's what I'm going to ask. Like, what would you do in this situation? So he called a friend who did a quick internet search.
Mm-hmm.
They learned that Lincoln Inn was a product that was made by a distillery in Montreal in the 1930s. The company went out of business in the 70s. So these 11 bottles of whiskey are almost 100 years old, and they're washing up on the beach in Jersey. What would you do with that? Like, I mean...
What I just said is what I would do.
Yeah,
I would get
you
as much,
drink one of them?
If I have 10 of them, yes.
Seven, right? So you have 10 left over.
Yeah, so I would have one to myself, and then you better believe, and this is really frowned upon in the bourbon-chasing industry, if that's still a thing, flipping. I mean,
heck yeah.
Marketplace. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you don't believe me, look it up, and I'm going to put the price tag, and you can just come meet me at my address, and you can have these for the price.
Yeah,
because it's free money. Like you're winning. Now maybe I would give one to maybe somebody that I'm really good friends with, because I don't need to sell 10 of them.
Right.
But I would in all reality, being a whiskey bourbon junkie, I would say that I would probably keep three.
Three of them. Okay.
I would keep three because I would enjoy one. Yeah. I would have another.
Do you think it's good, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The longer it ages, the better it gets.
And it's been at sea, and it never gets higher than 70 degrees in the water, and it's sealed. And yeah, so it's been in cool temperatures for 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the North Atlantic. And 70 in the water in the North Atlantic's warm, and it doesn't really get like that. Right. So, I mean, it's a crazy story. I just keep scrolling through it and seeing these pictures and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they said bootleggers used to bring it down to New Jersey, and then a small boats would take it off the Jersey shore, and they would pick liquor up in it. And I guess the boardwalk and pretty much a fun hotspot in the summer. They ran out of stuff during Prohibition. This stuff came down, got lost, ended up at sea for 100 years.
Jeez.
I wonder what that tastes like, though. I mean, is it smooth? Is it
I don't know how they made booze back then. Yeah. It's obviously changed throughout time. This story just reminds me of the story of Templeton Rye. Are you familiar?
Yeah.
So you're familiar with the story?
So no, I don't
Templeton
think so.
Rye, if you ever buy it, you can it's got different ages, obviously, but on the bottle is a story. And what happened is during Prohibition, Capone, Chicago, was running his distilleries. They burned it down while somehow the recipe for Templeton Rye survived.
Wow.
And that got passed down through generations, and that got made today.
That's kind of like the Rieger story.
Cool.
You know, Rieger went out of business around the Prohibition times, and one of the founders of Rieger generation later, was living in Dallas, his grandson, great-grandson or whatever, and somehow they decided to kind of start this thing up again, and that's how we have Rieger now today. They found the old recipes and kind of started doing it again. It's kind of that same type of story because, look, I think American-produced liquors and spirits are better than they've ever been before, right? I mean, we have so much of a selection with where the bourbon and whiskey scene is right now. Like, I'm involved in that, and I never drank brown liquor before in the last COVID, I think, got all of us into different stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think the American liquor scene right now is in an amazing spot. And to have some of these reintroduced brands that were around before Prohibition that never came back and to have them back, I think it's cool. And I'm a history guy, so I like this kind of stuff because I think booze, sports, and history all work together. Sports is a great way, baseball especially, to look at the history of America. Vernal say that all the time. And I think booze is too. Oh, yeah. Kind of take you through those different
eras.
It's like a
Venn diagram. You'd have sports, you'd have history, and then you'd have how somehow alcohol is in the middle of those two circles.
Yeah, because it really does. It impacts a lot of different things. It impacts the economy and whatnot. And so those old stories are great. But I just think that's one of the coolest things ever. As a kid, you always hear about, maybe a message will wash up in a bottle. Nothing's ever going to wash up on shore. Here are 1,100-year-old bottles of whiskey, man.
Speaking of washed up on the shore, some breaking news that involves the Chiefs. Pass rush help for Philadelphia Eagles. Joshua Uche, former Chief, will join the Philadelphia Eagles.
Do we claim him?
If you can't beat him, join him, I guess.
If you can't play against him, join him.
Yeah, Chiefs free agent linebacker, longtime Chief. Josh, remember we did that? Random Chiefs players?
Yeah, Josh Uche.
Irrelevant. Uche that should have been.
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant.
Absolutely. What happened there to you guys?
I don't know.
Guess. Just make something up. I don't care. What do you think happened there? I think he came in, they went, he's not as good as we thought he was. And he's probably not learning the system to where we need him to be, and he's a detriment.
I think it's one of two things. I think maybe misevaluation.
There's that, too.
There's that. Yeah, I think we can always be fair. We don't have to lean heavy. Because I think they misevaluated. I thought Carrington said this great yesterday. I think they misevaluated DeAndre Hopkins. I thought they truly thought he could just go out there and be the box out guy, is what they said. Go up there, and it just wasn't there.
I think it was more of a panic move than anything.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, didn't have Hollywood Brown, didn't have a whole lot of stuff going on. Rasheed Rice is out. Yeah.
You didn't know about Worthy at that point in time. He's still a young guy.
Right.
I think that was more of a, we got to have somebody, man. Go out and get DeAndre. We know that DeAndre Hopkins is a veteran player.
Right.
He was a comfortable add.
Do you really think he's going to be like helpful in Baltimore?
No.
Well, he's going to Baltimore or is he going to Philly? Oh, you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins. Gotcha. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, Hopkins, no. This is where receivers go to die.
Julio
Jones.
Odell Beckham.
What did I see yesterday? Was ESPN or somebody tweeted out.
Anquan Boldin.
The next weapon for Lamar Jackson. How far will DeAndre Hopkins take the Ravens? I'm like, nowhere. Like, Lamar doesn't need him. They didn't need DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I don't know. They have Mark Andrews, who I hope is doing okay, obviously, the way his season ended. Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers is back. So, I mean, like, I don't really know. Like, again, like, yeah, cool. Veteran leadership, I guess. Locker room guy. I don't know how much of a locker room guy DeAndre was here. I don't know that because I can't report on that because I don't know if he did anything significant.
I mean, never heard anything, you know?
Right.
A lot of fans would point to the Xavier progression being around when DeAndre happened. Now, we don't know any of that. Yeah, I get it.
It's overblown.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy was going to be a good player, whether DeAndre... 100%. And we don't even know if DeAndre Hopkins knew who Xavier Worthy was. Just because you're on a team with somebody doesn't mean you're there.
But
you know
what I'm
saying?
But he might have told him how to, like, you know, cheat a route.
Yep,
right? Maybe.
Like, how to see, like, hey, if this guy's playing here, you've already got him with your speed. If you give him this move, you get around. Like, and maybe that was something, like, you know, not every golf tip I've gotten is from a great golfer, right? But, like, they've been playing for so long that they're like, hey, if you line this foot here, you might actually hit it more left to right than right to left. I don't know.
They've seen it.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, they've been there. They've done it. It's like,
you
listen to the old people. They've seen it before, right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that these guys are willing to be that old person either. Like, again, we all go back to Alex Smith and what a great guy he was. More often than not, guys are not Alex Smith. And I don't know I never heard any stories about DeAndre Hopkins being this leader in the wide receiver room or whatever it was. And that doesn't mean he wasn't, but
right. We just don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know. Like, I look at DeAndre Hopkins and people say, what kind of impact do you think this guy had? And I will look at DeAndre Hopkins and I'll go, probably none, really.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm still getting my head about how Caglione was talked about from Vern. Roped another double. Mm-hmm. Velasquez was ass over head, tea kettle. Vern was some drops today, man.
Vern, the ass over tea kettle one was good because that you can see total baseball man doing that because that's a baseball move, ass over tea kettle.
And as you reported earlier, you can go to the Fan 965 on Twitter and see the news that Bob broke earlier per sources. Bobby Witt Jr. only to miss 5 to 6 days.
5 to 6 days, yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
It's not
from
even a week.
Good sources in Arizona, 5 to 6 days. Is what they expect Bobby Witt Jr. to be out for. So that is great news. I think everybody can breathe kind of that sigh of relief. Because I'll be honest with you, if Bobby Witt was out for an extended period of time, they don't have enough. No team does. No, you can't overcome losing a guy like that. I mean, seriously, when you think about it, like, how were you going to overcome Bobby Witt being out for an extended period of time? It's like if Patrick Mahomes were to go out, we're not overcoming that. I don't think anybody should have, you know, expectations of great things if Patrick Mahomes were to get injured and not play the season. Like, Carson Wentz going to go out there and sling this thing around? Like, backup quarterback, whoever, is going to go out? No. I mean, you lose that superstar player, it's hard to replace them. And there's not that many superstars in sports. We just happen to have a few here in Kansas City. And Bobby Witt Jr. is one of those guys. So 5 to 6 days, hell, that's a day off. I mean, that's not a big deal at all. So we'll get through that. We'll be just fine. And Bobby Witt will be back and ready to rock and roll by opening day. And hopefully there's just no lingering effects, you know?
Yeah, I mean, put a Rob Gronkowski protection. Go give him the Jim Leyritz.
Yeah, the Barry Bonds armor and the Leyritz pad and all that kind of stuff.
God, Jim Leyritz just layered that elbow right outside, you know? Got a World Series, though.
Uh-huh.
Hit a big home run for the Yankees. I was watching yesterday a simulated version of the 1994 All-Star game.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome. It ended like 11 to 10.
What was this on?
It was just on, like, Facebook, one of those reels or Instagram reels, because it said 94 All-Star Game Griffey just hit different. And I think Tony...
It was the 94 All-Star Game. Don't tell me. Let me guess where it was real fast. Was that in Colorado?
It was not.
I don't know.
Minnesota.
That was my next guess, actually. Yeah.
But I was, like, three thoughts came to my head, because I think Apier pitched second for the AL in that game. Do you want to guess who was the starting pitcher for the AL? They pitched for the Yankees.
In 94, mm-hmm. Pitch for the Yankees. I'm going to say either Jim Abbott or Jimmy Key.
Jimmy Key. was a starter for the AL. The NL, I forget already. Oh, no, it was Maddux.
Oh, 94.
Yeah, Maddux was a starter in the NL. Of course, the first inning, he gives up a hit, strikeout, line drive to the pitcher's mound, caught it, throws to first. They go, there's the Golden Glove. Because he won, like, I think, like 13 or something like that. Greg Maddux stats are, like, we were talking about Nolan Ryan. And then to bring this conversation that we started with back, listener Janae sends me a DM of Broadway schedule in Kansas City for 25-26.
Oh, way to go, Janae.
Beauty and the Beast, Romeo and Juliet. I'm going to be bad with this. Kimberly Akimbo. I don't know how to say that.
I don't know that one.
The Great Gatsby. Mm-hmm. Miss Doubtfire is a Broadway.
Hello!
That's what it says on the thing. It says, hello, Kansas City. Yeah. The Book of Mormon is coming.
Oh, there you go.
Hamilton and Wicked.
That's a hell of a threesome right there.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that at? Starlight?
PNC Broadway, Kansas City. I don't know. I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Let's go. Which one are we going to, guys?
Book of Mormon.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I haven't seen Book of Mormon. I'd like to see that.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't want to see with Matt because he'll be singing the whole time and like telling us, hey, watch this. This will be really good. Yeah, everyone that says that ends up doing it.
I promise.
It's fine. We'll watch the movie again. Let's watch it again. Hey, check this. You want to pay attention here. Thank you.
I hate that.
Don't you? The worst? Like, dude, let's watch it again. Nah, you've already seen it. I'll watch it on my own time. You're going to want to watch this.
This is like a great part up here.
Like when I knew the Red Wedding was coming in Game of Thrones, I just sat back.
Yeah,
I was like,
silence.
See, that's the way I am. When you know something good's coming and somebody hasn't seen it yet, just sit back and watch their reaction.
Yes. I want to see the raw reaction.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Hey, watch this. I'm watching it.
Want to feel old? 33 years ago today, My Cousin Vinny came out.
I would have said it was older than that.
The Two Utes? What?
Did you say Utes? Yeah, the Two Utes.
Who'd have known that his girlfriend was an expert on tires?
What you have here is the Posa traction. The 68 Chevy didn't have Posa traction. It didn't come around to 69. Therefore, there's no way these could have been the tire marks by the Two Utes.
Yeah.
She's still hot.
Oh, yeah. Marissa Tomei? Yeah. Isn't that her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think the best cross-examination is when he calls a guy out for the grits.
I was just going to say the same thing. Every time I get grits, which isn't a lot, in my mind I go, no self-respecting Southerner would ever eat instant grits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, don't true grits take 15 to 20 minutes to make? Well, and you said it took you 5 minutes to make grits? I guess I'd have to reevaluate this.
I'm done with this guy. I got no more use for you. Like when he starts going in the courtroom and just twisting all these people inside out. Joe Pesci doesn't get enough credit for how good an actor he is, too.
Underrated for sure.
I mean, that guy goes comedy. He goes serious. I mean, he's all over. And he is great in every role that he's in.
What's your favorite Joe Pesci movie?
I mean, Home Alone is hard to beat for me.
Over Goodfellas or Casino?
Yeah, because Home Alone is like every year you watch it, the kids love it. It's a family movie. Like that, it's such a good movie. I also like when we watch other movies that Joe Pesci's in and the kids will go, that's the guy from Home Alone.
Yeah, it's Harry.
Yeah.
From the 816, Costanza thinks Tomei is nails too.
He does.
We wrap this show up on the other side because somebody's suing ESPN for a video that leaked that we all have seen already. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
What a random show today. My Cousin Vinny, the Beatles, Bobby Witt Jr. gets hit in the forearm. We're all sad. Now Bobby Witt Jr. is only going to miss 5 to 6 days.
Woo!
Jay Binkley, Vernier, Briscoe.
Broadway.
Yeah, Broadway.
Whiskey bottles rolling up on the beach that are 100 years old. What would you do? I would kill for one of those bottles of whiskey. I'm not going to lie.
Somebody in the text line did make a really good point. They said, Dusty, you got to take that whiskey to an auction.
Oh. Are there? I'm ignorant on this. Are there whiskey auctions?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Where
do these take place?
I don't know, just like random places.
Inflation proof.
Yeah. So basically what happens is like some guy will have like a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle, which is like, you know, Mahomes. Like you just don't, there's one, right? Like it's hard. It's impossible to get. And 3, 2, 1. Here comes the whiskey professionals.
Yeah, I know, but people will tell you that Pappy is a fraudulent whiskey,
right,
and you're only buying it because of the name. And like,
yeah,
everybody's taste is their own taste, right? Like,
yeah,
you may love Pappy Van Winkle. I've never had either. Jerry Anselmo wants a bottle of this all the time.
You know who's got a bottle of it?
Rob Maloney, probably.
The guy that's behind you. 100%. Yeah. Tab. We also had bad golf takes today as well. It's like, the other thing too is like, I don't like, you saying Pam or Pan? I think Tap or Tab? 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 Pan? We did have bad golf takes today. My bad. I don't know. I've never had Pappy Van Winkle. I still think the best bourbon I've ever tasted is Eagle Rare.
That's another one people roll out there. Like, I'm a Woodford guy, man.
Great.
Like, it's a nice
double oaked, fantastic juice.
Yeah.
Can get it at Costco in the major bottle. No, Woodford Reserve is the double oaked is great. Love Woodford Reserve. Love Toasted Barrel from Elijah Craig. That's good stuff. But yeah, Pappy Van Winkle, you go to like an auction, guys are just sitting there. Yes, yes, yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Angel's Envy is a good one too. I like their
rye. Their rye's better, I think. But rye's got a bite. I just think it just depends. Like, it's also one of those things. Like whiskey just became a flex.
It did.
Like,
yeah, it really did. Right.
And you know, I've kind of gotten out of that phase. I've been more so like kind of into like tequila.
Tequila's a big deal now, man.
We're also getting into like, we're switching into the seasons because you're going from the winter months where it's cold and all this sort of stuff to where like now you're kind of getting more into like the lighter, the crispier, the, mm-hmm, you know, the refreshing.
Right.
Like I was telling you the other day, like Aperol Spritz. Right. I'll have one today after golf. I guarantee I'll have probably two at my buddy's store. So Red Door Wine Store. Come on in. I'll buy you an Aperol Spritz.
Yeah, that was never something that I liked. And that's fine. That's my preference.
You don't like the bubbly.
It's bitter. It's bitter, the bubbly. It's not my thing, right? But people love those, and I respect people who like what they like. And we were at Cactus on Friday. And mm-hmm, like, did you know LeBron had a tequila line out for a while? They had a bottle of that.
Well, I know he's a big wine snob.
Yeah.
He's a big wino guy. Big wine
guy. But see, the thing is, and this is, you know, one of the things I learned from Dick Vermeil over the years, it doesn't matter what something costs. If you like it, it's a good bottle.
It's also the varietal, the location, like all that sort of stuff. Like, you can get a $12 bottle of wine and it'll taste better than Camus.
But certain people have different palates. Like, you may think a $12 bottle of wine is outstanding. I may drink and go, ooh, I don't like that. Or you may drink a $100 bottle of wine and go, oh my God, that's skunked. And you know, so everybody's palate is different. Yeah. And no matter what the drink is,
right,
if you like it, or whatever food it is, if you like it, then that's a good food. That's a good bottle of wine. That's a good bottle of whiskey. Who are we to say, oh, because it's got a huge price tag, it's better? Nah, sometimes the prices get, you know, inflated because everybody wants that bottle.
Right. I remember when, like, remember when chocolate ale came out?
Oh,
yes. Now I don't even know if it even exists.
Yeah.
Like, and the reason it was popular is because, you know, Mary down the street had a bottle of it, put it on Facebook. It was like, I got this chocolate ale. And then the next year it's like, do you guys have that? And they didn't make a whole lot. Obviously, the first year, you don't know how it's going to sell.
Right.
And they made much of it. Then all of a sudden people are like, yeah,
it's fine. Man, I don't need that anymore. I'm
cool.
Good with that. Yeah. But I mean, like, if you like it, it's a $3. Like, if you like, you know, I don't know, whatever comes in a plastic bottle with a handle on the bottom shelf and it's good for you, then it's a good bottle, man. It doesn't matter. You like Franzi and it tastes good to you, then that's a good bottle or box of wine.
Don't make matter of taste matter of fact.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Look at our guy.
Wow. Would you read Successories before you came in this morning?
Of course.
Like, I think it's funny that, I don't know, man, maybe this is just, you know, maybe it's just me, I don't know. But I, you know, I just, like, I'm like you, man. Like, if you like it, you like it. If you like seltzers, have a seltzer.
Have a seltzer. Who the hell cares,
if
right?
If you don't want to have booze, don't have booze. Go be California sober if you want to be California
sober. That's fine,
sober.
Yeah. Which a lot of people are starting to do, right? A lot of people are doing that now than anything.
Yes.
Like, I think if you ask, like, liquor store owners, since you know, cannabis has become available legally, I would imagine their margins have shrunk a lot. I mean, I've talked to people over the years on the Missouri side, like, yeah, it has an impact on our business.
We're also getting into rosé season.
Mm.
Rosé, baby, at the pool.
Let's go.
Gotta love that. Can-crafted cocktails, like the Cutwaters. Somebody says, my bros, buy enough vanilla extract and shoot those. You'll be talking to a light pole. I did hear
vanilla
that.
Vanilla extract?
There's, like, alcohol in
it. Yeah, but,
like,
I mean, people are now doing that?
I mean
my
just
God.
Just go get a drink.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like kids eating Tide Pods and shooting vanilla extract. Geez. Like, is that the thing?
Well, do you guys remember when people were like putting liquor in their eyeballs?
What?
Yeah, there was like a thing. Like, yes. They were like putting vodka in their eyes, like their tear duct.
So, so it would absorb quickly and they'd be hammered in school. Yeah.
Dude.
I mean, it was brutal.
Kids think they got it bad. Try and be their parents.
Like,
yeah.
I think the weirdest thing I ever did was like sniff glue.
Yeah.
It ruined me. Look at me today. I think golf's the top three sporting events.
I mean, we had more things that you were able to sniff as a child than you guys were. We would sniff Dittos. I don't think either of you guys know what a Ditto is.
I thought that was the please don't call me wondering why. Oh, that's Dido.
Dido, yeah, Dido. But you didn't have Dittos. Like, you watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Have you ever seen that movie, Mac? Okay.
Well, wouldn't it be our pizza, Mr. Hand?
Wouldn't this be our time, Mr. Hand? Yeah. But they all sniffed the paper. It used to be a purple.
Yeah.
They would roll it. The Xerox machines replace it, but it was like, it was actual ink, and you'd get the Ditto, and you take a big hoof off of that. You'd grab your white out that you never used, take a big hoof of that, and then you took like those Mr. Markers, you know, like they all smelled like different flavors, and everybody's walking around with like markers all over their nose and white out and Ditto prints. I mean, like, we got high in first grade off of school supplies.
Do you remember the pencils with like NFL teams on?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, they never had the Chiefs. I wonder if they would still
those
have.
Those pencils didn't have erasers that worked.
That's because everybody ate them.
I think it did eat erasers, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, my God, like, we're worried about the kids today. We were hoofing everything in first grade. And then started to dissipate, and, like, the Xerox machine came in, and then the Ditto machine went way of the dodo bird. But, I mean, like, all this stuff that we used to get high on in school, now they got, like, whiteout strips. That's no fun. You want that bottle of whiteout. Like, everybody would just sit there and just sniff the whiteout all day.
Then they don't even.
What the hell's going on, Miss Tonjes?
I'm going to need you to go outside because you are electric right now.
And then you'd clap the erasers and the dust would go everywhere and that would get you, you know.
Do you remember the markers that were scented with
that's
like.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got rid of them.
Yeah. I can't remember the name.
I mean, if you just type in fruit-scented markers.
Right, and everybody's walking around with like blue and red on their nose because the blue ones were blue raspberry. They were good.
They had black licorice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was another one you could do. Yeah.
Mine was always, my favorite was always.
Cintos?
Cintos?
Mr. Sketch?
Mr. Sketch.
Yep, Mr. Sketch. Mr. Sketch. They were Sketch.
Yeah.
Sup?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brother, but yeah, like it was. Like
you went to school. I'm sorry for people who go to school now and didn't have whiteout markers and dittos. I really am. Like, got you through the day.
We had the big
and then
thing,
government cheese was served at lunch.
Yep. Our big thing when I was in school, like elementary school, was like the crown box that had the sharpener on the back, the NFL team pencils, and the magic scented markers. Those were like big, and then gel pens took over. Like gel pens were not, like every girl that was in. Like, she had the gel pens from, like, rainbow-colored all the way
up.
Yeah,
those didn't last long, though.
No, because people were sucking on them. They were blowing up in their mouth.
Is that what was happening to them?
Oh, it happened all the time. You'd see a kid look around, and it looked like he was Gene Simmons.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Getting ready to sing Rock and Roll all night? I know what you should be doing. Go do something nice for somebody today. It's beautiful. Go be beautiful. You never know. It could change their day, week, their month, or their year. Kansas City, it is simply cool to care. Stay safe. Stay kind. Enjoy the day. Go tell somebody you love them. Coming up next, it's Cody, Gold, and Tab. Drew, I think, from 10 to 2.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.